Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Kingsway Podcast from Pastor Sean. You are about to hear a message from a recent Sunday service. We consider it a privilege to be on a spiritual journey with you. So take a few moments with us and allow God to inspire you today.
I'm getting started. When I think about kids, I got one riddle one of my kids told me that's appropriate. So I want to throw it on you now, and then I'll see if you can get it a little later. The riddle is, what is harder to catch the faster you run? What is harder to catch the faster you run? I want you to think about that. And as you think about that, I'm going to come back to these beautiful stars that we had, because I know that I got about 5 minutes of the new people's attention. When you come to church, you're like, I don't know if I want to be here. I got things to do. It's a beautiful day. Some of you may be tired. You may have things this weekend to plan. So I thought to myself, I have a sermon. It's about 25 minutes, but I got 5 minutes of sermon, and I figured I'd give it to you right up front. That way, if you're tired, you could just doze off. Or if you got to go, you got to go. But at least you're going to get some Jesus in you for the first 5 minutes of this message. I wanted to give the whole sermon in 5 minutes or less, because Easter, it's not about the eggs or the bunny or the pastels or the visitors or the specials. Easter has got to be about Jesus. It's got to be. He's got to be that star that shines brighter in our life. He's got to be that hope when there is no hope. He's got to be. So how did he get to that? What is the story of Jesus? So I want to give it to you real quick. You see, it started very simply. God created the whole world and everything in it, including you and me. He created the world, and yet we, from very early on, we disobeyed, we betrayed, and we pretty much made ourselves priority. From that day till this day, thousands of years, we've been practicing getting really good at doing it. And ever since, God has been laying out the prophecies, one after another, after another, after another, hundreds of them prophesying the coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of a birth that was going to be conceived through a virgin. And we all know what that story is about, because we celebrate it and we call it Christmas and we act like it's the most important Christian holiday, when it's not. That was just when little baby Jesus was born. And I love praying to little baby Jesus, but little baby Jesus, he's not the Jesus that followed. See, he grew up. There was a star. There was a firstborn death involved where the king come down on all of the children, but Jesus managed to escape. And he was a peasant, a carpenter. He grew up in trade. Time went on, and he began to go into ministry. When he began to go into ministry, people said of him, he's a good teacher. We have some good teachers. All around this church, we have tons of good teachers. He's just a really good teacher. Others said, no, Jesus, I seen him do miracles. He healed the blind. He cast out leprosy. He's a healer, a great physician. It's true. He was a good teacher. He was a good healer. They said he was a great theologian, a great philosopher, a thought leader. It's also true. But Jesus, you see, he was misunderstood. They also said that he'd be this revolutionary leader. Yet we talked last week, yet he had no revolt, no army, no ensuing war. They mistakenly said he was a lunatic, that he was crazy. He was out of his mind saying crazy things. Yet he gave the most moving lectures, confounding even the most studied and learned priests among them. He knew scripture, all of it, quoted it, and always defended the weak. Don't sound like a crazy man. They also said he was a deceiver, but yet he never told a lie. In fact, he preached the truth, unveiling wisdom like a master painter with brushstrokes, carefully putting together a crystal clear picture. In other cases, he revealed the past about others he never knew, or the future that is to come. And in each instance, in every case, not one found him to be false, lying, or deceiving. Others thought he was to be an earthly king, overturning the government, finally righting the wrongs, finally righting the unfair and unjust world that we lived in. But what happened? What happened to that Jesus? Well, unlike a king, he readily gave himself up for his people. He suffered. He sacrificed for all humanity, despite almost everyone misunderstanding why and what he came to do. And ultimately, in the end, they all abandoned him. That's what we talked about last week. He willingly accepted the death penalty for something he absolutely didn't deserve. A penalty that, in fact, was for all of us. We deserved it for our sin, our mistakes, our own dishonor, our own self-righteousness. But you see, God refused to damn the whole world. He refused to annihilate the whole thing. Instead, he sent his son, and his son agreed to take our place on the cross for our lives. In his death, on that cross, the day we call Good Friday, we are given a new day. We are given a new chance. We are given a new opportunity. We are given a new future. Church, I tell you today, we are given a new breath. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I told the story of Jesus. You asked me to, I did. Lord, I could have took the whole service and talked about how great Jesus was and all that he did. Lord, I summed it up in 5 minutes because I want every single soul to hear what Jesus Christ did and who he was. Lord, I thank you that he came to teach us. I thank you that he came to prophesy for us. I thank you that he came to heal us. I thank you that he came to lead us. But Father God, I am most thankful that he came to die for us. And Lord God, I pray right now that every soul under the sound of my voice will get a hold of Jesus Christ and what he did on this day we call Easter. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the church says, God is good. And all the time. What's the answer to that riddle? People thinking different things. Okay. I want you to sit back. If you have to, put your hands behind your head for a second. And I want you to all relax. And I want you to all take a deep breath. Some people are doing it. It's okay. Tap your neighbor and say, take a deep breath. We all need a deep breath. Let me tell you something. If you haven't figured it out, living here, Earth, here, America, here, Baltimore, yeah, it's hard. I don't care what you're set up with, what you got, what you don't got. It is hard living here. Something's always going on. You need a deep breath. Sunday should be a chance, an opportunity for you to sit back and say, this deep breath is the answer to the riddle, right? The answer to the question, when you run faster, what becomes harder to catch? Well, it's your breath. It's your breath. And breath, is this something that's also misunderstood? Breath is the life-giving quality that allows us to live another day. Does it not, church? And yet, in order to stay in shape, we run and we run and we work out till we have no more of it. Or when we're sick, what do they listen to first? Our breath. Or when we're stressed out, what's the first thing we do when that stress becomes relieved? We breathe. Or we're about to do something really exciting, dangerous, we take a deep. Or what happens when we finally realize, when we wake up in the morning and we realize how beautiful it is outside? We realize that today could be a brighter day, that today could be a better day. What happens when we walk outside and we examine it, and then we just say, let me take it all in. We breathe that breath. So church, I want to, on the count of three, for any reasons on the board or any reasons that you're dealing with right now, I want you right now, this second, to take a deep breath with me on three. One, two, three. Feels good, doesn't it? It's the thing that makes you you. You're alive today. Because you have breath. And so church, today, the sermon, today, the message, today, this whole Easter thing, I'm going to do it in an unconventional way. I'm an unconventional kind of guy. Yes, I let my wife dress me, but that's because we got pictures to take. And happy wife means happy life. But outside that, I tell you, I'm an unconventional. I don't do things the way everybody else does them. I don't listen to the way everybody else tells me I should do things. I take wisdom. I take advice. I turn around in my head and I say, God, let me be me. You made me to be me, so how is me going to be me? And when I was stressing about this sermon, I put together this sermon. I had it done for 2 weeks, and we were praying with it with the leadership team. We were ready to go. And last night, I'm in the shower trying to put the final touches on the sermon, and I'm getting stressed out by all the things that need to happen. And in the middle of that sermon, God spoke to me something. He spoke to me something so clearly, so inevitably, not audibly, but in my spirit. And, you know, he's basically trying to tell me not to stress out. But he said, Sean, just take a breath. Just take a breath. And instantly, and this doesn't happen to me often, church, instantly, I take that breath, and in that instant, he poured into me this sermon, beginning, middle, and end. And I had to tear up what I had and start over again to bring you what I call three deep breaths. You ever taken three deep breaths? You ever need three deep breaths? You ever get so stressed out, I tell you, count the three and take a breath? Stay calm, just breathe. I want to talk about three deep breaths. Deep breath number one. You can turn to your Bibles. I encourage you, I welcome you to open it up. I put it on the screen today because I want you to see and hear the Word of God in front of you. The first deep breath may be the one that you weren't expecting, so I'm going to read it out of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord," I love when the Lord God does something, "then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and then the man became a living being." Church, I want you to recognize today the first deep breath that God took was to create each and every one of us. Church, I want you to think about it for a second. God made us today, and you know he made us out of nothing. We say we're so valuable, our bodies are so valuable, we put so much energy into looking good, feeling good, putting what's in it, making sure we have the right pictures, making sure we dress it up, look it up, do whatever, so that our bodies somehow portray the image that we want to portray. But really, our bodies came from dust, came from nothingness, and you know what their value is? Well, take breath away, you know what it is? It turns to dust. Cremated or otherwise, you're going into the ground as dust. Once you're buried, your body breaks down and it turns into dust. The point is, from dust to dust, your body is without value. It came from nothing with value. But therein lies the first thing. God formed us. He formed us. God did it. We didn't come from protoplasm. We didn't come from a bright explosion. We didn't come from the series of macroevolution over hundreds of thousands of millennia. That is not what happened. God formed us. And you know, the second part of this, which is so interesting, is it's sort of like your child, if you have children, and I'm sure you've seen this, where children are 3, 4, they go and they take the clay and they begin to form the clay and they put it into the oven and they heat it up and then they give it to mom and dad, and you're looking at it like, what is that? What is that? You know, but you're not saying that out loud. They're saying, well, of course you know what it is. It's a mug, mom. That thing no more looks like mug than it can hold water. But yeah, I love it. You know why you love it? Not because it was formed out of clay or dust, not because the materials were worthless. You love it because of who gave it to you. The giver of that gift meant something, so you put it on your desk proudly. You see, our bodies have some value because God gave them to us. And then he did something really amazing. He took the deep breath and he breathed into you. It says he breathed the breath of life into each and every one of you, church. He breathed life into you. He values you. He values your dustful body, your shameful, sinful body. He values you enough to pour a little bit of him in you. Do you realize that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, gave a little bit of himself to you and me? That's how we're created in his image. He breathed life into you. And you know what it is about breath? Ooh, I'll say it here. I got to keep moving because I'm getting excited. It says here, the man became a living being, a living being. In really modern translations, it'll say a living person. If you go to the King James Version, you go back and look at the original Hebrew, and you look at that word, it's going to say soul. He created a living soul, a living being. You see, it underscores the fact that our bodies aren't living. They're alive, but then you take the breath out of it, and they go away. They have a point in time. A limited amount of time, but our breath, our soul that gets breathed into us, it becomes a living being that lives on for eternity, forever and ever and ever, church. You have something inside of you that is bigger than just your day or your month or your week or your year, church. Do you get a hold of that? The question I then ask you is this. What are you doing with your breath today? What are you doing with your gift today that God has given you? What are you doing with it? Are you using it like we've been practicing for thousands of years to focus on yourself, to take all the credit, to focus on success and act like it was all because of you, your skills, your talents, your innate abilities just came out of dust? Is that what you're doing with your breath? Or do you take the opportunity to honor him, to thank him. To put it another way, what would you do if you knew your breaths were limited? If you knew that today you only had a certain number of breaths and then tomorrow you wouldn't have any more, what would you do with today? What would you do? You see, because it's our breath that gives us meaning and life. Do you realize that the moment you have another breath, you have another minute? The moment you have another breath, you're guaranteed another choice. The moment you have another breath, you're guaranteed another opportunity, church. Do you understand? The moment you have another breath, you have another story to tell. Your life is a story, a series of breaths. And I tell you today, church, what are you doing with it? That's deep breath number one. God breathed it into each and every one of us. The next breath, this one you may not think about the way I did, and the way the Lord shared it with me. But as we took that breath early on, as we all went like this, there's an inhale, and then there's an exhale. God allowed us to inhale his breath. And then he sent man down in the form of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ went. And on the day we call Good Friday, it says in Mark chapter 15, verse 37, it says, Jesus Christ, with a loud cry, what does it say? Breathed his last breath. He had the ultimate exhale. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, and he went for what seemed like the last time. Think about that. It says he called out to the Father, and then it says, in the original Greek, it says, he gave up his spirit out of his body. I know that sounds sad. And for most people standing around Good Friday, it was. The point I want to make you acutely aware of is this is the second deep breath, the exhale. I say it like this. That moment Jesus took his last breath, our deaths were forever changed. You see, the moment that he decided to sacrifice himself, and you know what? He struggled with it. He said, let this cup pass before me if it could. And then they came to get him, and he said, I will take it. I will take the sacrifice and the suffering for the people. I will then put myself on the cross, even though this death penalty is not for me, it's for all of you. And he went on that cross, and he suffered the sacrifice, and then he took his last breath. And you know what happened, church, when he did that? Do you know what happened when he breathed his last breath? Do you know what happened, church? Well, I tell you what happened. First, the veil of the temple cracked. Why is that important, church? Because before that point where Jesus died, in order to get to God, in order to figure out this thing about eternity, in order to save your soul, you needed to go to a priest, and you needed to have a sacrifice, and you needed to be perfect, and you needed to do all these things, most of which none of us could do. And the moment Jesus took his last breath, the veil broke, thereby limiting the need for the priest or the pastor to have to pray over you. You now have a connection with God Almighty, and you are allowed to change your eternity forever. Church, you got to get a hold of this. Before that, you had no place to go when you died. After that, you now had a place in heaven should you choose to take it. That moment, it changed our deaths forever. God is building a home for each and every one of you. The question is, are you going to go see it? While you have your breath today, I encourage you to explore Jesus Christ. This God we're talking about, to ask him to do something meaningful in your life. But you see, that's just the second breath. And to me, that should be enough to take our sin away. I don't deserve to go to heaven, church. I don't know about you. I don't. The fact that Jesus died for me and washed my sins away, that should be enough. But church, it didn't end there. It didn't end there. There was the third deep breath. Do you want to know what it is? I want to talk to you for a second, church. I want to talk to you about the most important breath in human history. I want to talk to you today about a breath that is hard to fully comprehend or explain. I want you to think about this breath. As the stone rolls back, there was a breath. Jesus. Jesus. Show him, Lord. dust. He's not laying there, is he, church? No, because of another breath that needed to happen. Third deep breath. The third deep breath was Jesus Christ rising from the tomb. Church, can you get a hold of that? Can you get a hold of that? Let me put it this way. If his first breath was the one that he had his last breath, so our deaths were changed forever, then church, I tell you that the moment Jesus took his first breath, our lives were forever changed. Jesus rose again. Jesus rose again and therefore took another breath on planet Earth. He took another breath in his glorified body, another breath after his grand sacrifice, another breath that today we can take advantage of. Why is this important? Church, this is so important. Jesus Christ conquered death. Jesus Christ conquered death. If he conquered death, the grave, and Satan, he says he went down into the gates of hell and he literally beat him down and took the keys from him and said, no more, I'm creating a place in heaven. And I already told you that you had a place to go, but beyond that, he did something far greater. He said, if I can conquer death, I've proven to you that I can conquer disease. I can conquer depression, church. I can conquer addiction, church. I can conquer anger, church. I can conquer greed, church. I can conquer loneliness, church. Whatever your worst fear is today, Jesus Christ can conquer it. Church, are you with me? It says that Jesus Christ took that breath and he went on and said, greater works shall we do. Greater works shall we do than even Christ did. What are you doing with your breath today? It said, Jesus, after that, he said that he went into heaven to intercede for you and me. Do you know that now when we're alive today, when we're struggling today, when our breath becomes hard to find, when we wonder where we're going to get our next breath from, Jesus Christ is alive and well in heaven interceding for you and for me. Church, are you with me? Okay. I could end there, but I have a couple minutes, five. And as I began to finish the sermon, and I said, I just want to impress upon you these three deep breaths, it occurred to me I may have miscounted. Because while three deep breaths sounds much nicer, there's a fourth deep breath that happened. And it literally says it that way in Scripture. Do you want to hear it? You want to hear it? I'll share it with you if you really, really want to know it. I don't want to tell you something you don't want to know. Okay. So Jesus, I mean, it's so simple to me, right? He created us. He died for us. He saved us. He breathed for us. And when he came back, and when he breathed that breath, it says these words. I will say these words. It says in John 20:22, he walked up to the disciples, and then it says, Jesus Christ says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what separates us, church, from so many other world religions, that our God truly did die and rise again. And when he didn't disappear into the ether, never to interact with us. He literally breathed on us and gave us his very Holy Spirit. He gave us the Comforter. He gave us the one to bring you peace. He gave you the one who you need to go into that meeting and you're too shy to figure out what to say. He came to bring you boldness. He gave you boldness. Why? So that you could have success. Why? That success could give you self-worth. No, that success could put you in channels, opportunities, avenues to speak the truth of Jesus Christ to someone that you weren't able to speak the truth because he's given you boldness that you never had before. That's the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to each and every one of us. He breathed on you, church. Can you get a hold of that today?
We at Kingsway hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Sean. It was not by chance you listened to it. God is speaking to you. Visit kingswaycc.org to find the podcast from Pastor Sean. We pray today that this somehow inspired you to draw closer to God and to connect with His people, His purpose, and His power. God bless you.